Teresa, I really want to live in Charleston, South Carolina, and this is the house I'd like to buy. I just need you to write the check.
Well, well, well. Lauren, you are looking sizzling. Good Lord. Do us a turn or whatever Jed says.
Thank you. I want to have Pookie's cute Georgia accent today on the pod, but unfortunately, I just have my basic California one. And well, 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 I'm here. You know, here. Orange County, born and raised, here for the show today.
Here for the show. We've got quite a show, a hearty show planned for everybody. Mm-hmm. We are going to get into relationship advice, your questions. But mm-hmm. before we get into, you know, the perils of y'all's relationships,
right.
I think we need to talk about a couple of relationships that are on our radar, some, you know, relationships that are in the press, and just dig into them for a moment.
Yeah, let's dig into some great romances of our time. One that's hit the dust, one that's still soaring. So first, Chan, mm-hmm. let's talk about Taylor and Travis at Coachella.
So I don't mean to brag, but I have been to Coachella before. And I know what it's like to be in the arms of the person, you know. Actually, I don't know what
Did
it's
you
like
have
to be in the arms of
a
person
Coachella?
You love.
I was just going to say.
No, I didn't have I definitely kissed somebody while I was at Coachella, but I didn't have a boyfriend at Coachella. But anyway, I've been to Coachella. I know what this experience is like. So I definitely love seeing these photos of her having, you know, this sweet moment that, you know, really every white girl deserves her Coachella moment. And I've always wanted that for Taylor.
Yeah. It was fun to see her like being a normal person, like just being in a mm-hmm. crowd. I didn't even know she would be allowed to be in a crowd given her
allowed either.
Right.
I'm curious if some of the people around her were like those plain clothes, like bodyguards or something, like Secret Service style. I'm not
Had
sure.
To have been.
Had to have been, right? But also Travis is a big guy, but still, it's pretty scary to see her in a crowd like that.
So terrifying, but I was so happy for her to get that moment, that normie girl moment. Mm-hmm. The one thing I was very shocked by, and I kind of posted about this on subscribers on Instagram, but then I did a dirty delete. I deleted like 5 hours later.
Yeah, your signature move.
I was shocked to see her like visibly partying.
I don't
Coachella.
Think she. I don't think she was visibly partying.
Really?
For my purview, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think she was drunk.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. It's probably true that she was just drunk, but to me, she looked like she was fully visibly partying, which was even more shocking. But
do you know what show they were at?
I don't, but I just know that the music was such intense house music. And does alcohol alone make that kind of music enjoyable to like
bearable?
Boom, 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 boom.
I don't know. Maybe she like secretly likes house. Maybe Tortured Poets Department is going to be like a house album.
It's going to be tropical house. No words.
Could anything be worse?
No, nothing could be worse.
Nothing could be worse.
Anyway, but yes. It was just super fun to see her.
It was sweet. Travis looked great. They looked really happy. I think that, you know, all of our thoughts about Travis, as mixed as they may be, he makes her really happy and she is so comfortable being normie girl with him. And I think that mm-hmm. is really special.
I mean, when I saw him just like barrel essentially spooning her in the crowd, I could just like feel his broad arms around me. And it was a great feeling.
Same.
Right?
Totally. It was like I was channeling the arms of Travis.
Oh, and I'm just so happy for her. Much stronger, of course, than those of Joe, for sure.
You know, she was never going to get those moments with Joe. You said the other day that you spent all morning thinking about Joe Alwyn.
I spent all day actually thinking about Joe Alwyn. This is very true. Because I think that there's so many lyrics that we just passed by, okay? Like, we just passed by all these lyrics that were telling us exactly who mm-hmm. Joe was. Right. And I was just like trying to look in the mirror and be like, do you see reality at all? Like, do you know mm-hmm. up from down? Are you colorblind? Are you right. blind, period? Anyway, there was a lyric in Paper Rings where she says, this is literally what I was thinking about just by myself, 9 a.m. 2 days ago. So I'm listening to Paper Rings. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she says, I want your, the Paper Rings is all about like, I want to get married. Like I want
to marry, whatever, paper ring.
Exactly. Exactly. So then she says, I want your dreary Mondays. I want your complications too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. when I, you know, during my vows to Kagan at our beautiful sunlit wedding, there's a part of me that was like, I'm just so happy to have your dreary Mondays, your complications. Like, this guy was the worst from the beginning, the worst, and no one picked up on it.
Well, he was always like, you know, no other shade of blue will do. Like, he was just moody or sad or depressed.
Yes.
Depressed boy, you know, and not like, I think not, you know, I don't know that he has clinical depression. He might, you know, shout out Joe, if you're listening to this, sorry you got clinical depression. But if he, you know, if he was artsy depressed, now that's annoying. You know what I'm saying? Melodramatic, like, my acting career isn't taking off, I'm not getting the serious roles I deserve. That type of dreary? No, thanks.
Yeah. I think he was morose and mm-hmm. self-removed from social situations. Remember how Jack Antonoff sings that he was too hurt to hang out in You're On Your Own Kid, Bleachers Edition? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there were just so many lyrics that were pointing to him being hugely problematic.
Right.
And to him, you know, never giving Taylor the security that she needed. We won't belabor this, but I kept thinking about it.
I'm so excited for what we're going to get on Friday. I just need to just, you know, literally buckle down and white knuckle it until we get to that day. Mm-hmm. But Lauren, I think we need to talk about another tortured poet, if you will.
Mm. Oh, who?
Gary.
Oh, Gary Turner. Yes. Another tortured poet, Chandler. Mm-hmm. He did have a few one-liners, a bunch of zingers.
Mm-hmm. You are really special.
It's been a minute. That's I need to hear him talk huge. So I can do my accent.
I can't even. Or people are asking for your accent. People are begging for your accent.
Okay, let me just
give it to us.
Let me just give me 1 minute of listening to some Gary, or give me 30 seconds and I can bring it back. I just have to like hear him talk once to get it.
That's huge. That's huge.
That's literally Joe to Taylor. Taylor says, I love you. And Joe's like,
That's huge.
Okay, your impression is way
off. Terrible.
That's huge. Teresa and I have had a number of heart-to-heart conversations, and we've looked closely at our living situations. I said, Teresa, I really want to live in Charleston, South Carolina, and this is the house I'd like to buy. I just need you to write the check.
Yeah, that's when the record scratched for Teresa.
Well, Gary, how much equity do you have in the lake house?
I'm upside down on the mortgage. I don't have any credit. I won't be co-signing. But Teresa, I've always known you were very special.
Anyway,
it's been a minute since you've just made me straight cackle, and that was incredible. I mean, I wish this talent could take you further.
I do too. Trust me, I do too. Out
really
of my,
good.
You know, I'm sitting in front of my walking treadmill, you know, in my office. Maybe this could take me to some brighter lights, Chandler, than the selfie ring lights I have in front of me. Yes, let's get into this dissolution of this 3-month marriage. Did you see what I posted on Instagram?
No, you told me not to watch it. You said under no circumstances are you allowed to watch the the subscriber content.
I was curious.
So
if you
I did. It was like pornography to me. I just looked away. I just, you know, exit.
Okay. I have so many thoughts on this. The first is that I think that the fact that they are getting a divorce after 3 months of marriage just bodes so poorly for Gary, especially, right? Like, there's just.
Yeah.
He there's
couldn't
no
even,
reason.
Like, fake it for 3 months and he wasn't trying to, you know, get the bag.
There's just something so off that they couldn't try for a year. Like,
I know
3 months is almost just like the let it settle process. Like, they could have spent 6 months figuring out where they were going to live next, and she could have figured this out in 6 months. Something had to be so off, Chandler, mm-hmm. where she was like, I need to be legally completely removed from this person.
I think if you remember too, that Teresa hadn't dated anybody else since her husband died. So this was like a huge deal for her to recommit to Gary. So yes, it's a huge thing. There must have been something that went, you know, terribly awry. I mean, my hunch that doesn't take more than 2 brain cells to put together is just that her family and her kids were like, this guy's got to go.
Yeah. Or there's a part of me that wonders, is he literally screwing around on her? Is he already you know, I'm sure he has women in his DMs. Is he just like already being a cad? Because I don't know if you heard on GMA when they asked him, like, did you watch the interview?
Like the one that came out months ago?
No, the one that just came out.
No.
Okay, so they do a Good Morning America interview. It's worth watching. It's so weird because they're like holding hands. They're still lovey-dovey. They like love each other so much, but they're getting divorced.
And she's so excited to be free of him, I'm sure.
The interviewer was like, are you guys both going to be still finding love or looking for love? And Gary's like, oh, yes. It's so weird, but he was so enthusiastic about still trying to find love.
Oh my gosh.
I just think that this guy, he's already on the prowl. Something is so majorly off. I think she wants to almost like seek an annulment, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
It had to have been so bad, Chan, if they didn't even go on their Italian honeymoon.
They didn't even go on their honeymoon?
No, they didn't even go to Italy.
Yeah, he sounds like he must be a nightmare of some sort.
Something really bad happened.
Yeah.
Because there's just no other reason. Like, I feel like if they really had this big separate living arrangement issue, it would have taken like a year to let that play out and just have it not be working.
Right.
Like, it's just, we don't like spending every 6 weeks somewhere. It's too hard. It's too tough.
Yep.
I think that the fact that she didn't even want to go on the honeymoon, or he didn't want to go on the honeymoon, just something was super majorly off. And I think we will find out more. April from The Golden Bachelor, she commented on Teresa's Instagram and was like, I tried to warn you.
Wow.
Yeah. But then she deleted it and apologized.
Lauren, I got this text from my friend last night and she said, yo, what's the protein powder you guys peddle on your pod? Is it actually good?
Okay. What did you say?
I then inundated her with a bunch of messages explaining how good it was, really trying to show her that it's not something we simply peddle. It's actually something we truly believe in. So
it's not something we peddle. It's like a passion.
Let's just say that there were two gray text messages followed up by eight blue text messages.
Read them all verbatim.
I said, it's the only one I drink, .. I've literally been drinking it since college. Clean, simple eats. The vanilla and the chocolate, it's called brownie batter chocolate, are musts. They have a lot of other flavors too if you're more adventurous. They also have travel packs if you want to try something out before buying a full bag. Then I sent her the links. Not even affiliate links. I just was like, no, if you're even considering buying a protein powder, I've got it for you. I've got it squared away. I've got it locked in. Do not look anywhere else.
It is so, so good. This is what we're saying within the privacy of our text message threads and publicly on this podcast. Guys, go to cleansimpleeats.com. Use code POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off your order. Cleansimpleeats.com, code POPAPOLOGIST.
Lauren, the wall behind you, it's quite barren. What's going on there?
You know what? I find getting things framed to be very stressful. And so I've just never done it. I don't basically have anything framed in my home. And it's sad for me.
It's very sad, which is why we are so lucky to be sponsored by Framebridge right now.
Yes, I am so excited to correct this wrong in my life. What's so great about Framebridge is for other people also intimidated by a gallery wall, if you go on their website, you can just very quickly, easily upload like five photos or whatever it is, and they will send you different dimensioned, cute frames, beautiful, sleek, modern, so you can just hang your gallery wall and it's good to go.
They make it very easy on a layperson like yourself. Everyone, see why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Well, you know, as another relationship bites the dust, Lauren, we just need to hold hands and try to sort through the choppy waters of love together.
And it sounds like a lot of people in our DMs are in some murky and choppy waters themselves with their relationships. So should we get into it?
Yes, let's get into it. We put out a call out for everyone's relationship quandaries. This is going to be a relationship Q&A advice episode. So excited to do it with you, Chan. Where do we want to start? We got quite a few.
I think let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the top.
Okay.
Go for it. Unless you've got one you want to start with.
No, go for it.
Okay, so this first scenario reads, boyfriend of 4.5 years gets mad when I want to put a timeline on a proposal / marriage. Says it's, quote, his decision only when he proposes. I'm 29 and he's 32. Both want kids soon. Okay. I think the fact that he says that it's his decision only is really alarming when it comes to talking about marriage. Like, sure, if you want to, you know, follow in the traditional way, it is his decision how he proposes and when he proposes, but getting married should be something that you are both on the same page about. That is not his decision only.
Chandler, I just want to say, with a lot of these questions, but especially this one, before we begin, I just need to take sip. I just need a
You drinking?
No, just kidding. But literally, That's what these questions are driving me to want to do. It's to drink. That was my little fun joke.
Is that Japanese whiskey or something? Very yeah. Gwyneth of you. Gwyneth loves Japanese whiskey.
The cabinet.
Wow.
You all are driving me to drink with these questions. It's literally all I'm saying. This is.
I know.
The lack of self-respect, the lack of self-worth. I want to be kind with my response, but I also just need to say, if you are listening and in a similar boat, it's time to snap back to reality. It's time to get a grip. If you're dating someone for 4.5 years, you're both at 29, 32. This is not like you started dating in high school and you're both in your early 20s. This is 29 and 32. There's a normal timeline for having children. This is it. This is your life. And okay, it's one thing if you're just like not quite ready, both of you figuring it out. It's entirely another when your boyfriend of 4.5 years gets angry at you and upset with you.
Right.
He gets mad. He gets emotionally charged and mad when you try to put a timeline on proposal / marriage.
And I think it speaks when, you know, saying that he says that it's his decision only makes me think that there's some weird control power things happening where he doesn't even see you as like a partner in this.
It's so strange. Truly, I think that you need to honestly give this person, I wouldn't even say give this person an ultimatum, honestly, because an ultimatum is for someone who you want to marry. And I would really reevaluate if you want to marry this person. Because like you said, Chandler, he clearly has these weird control power issues, but also like you should feel safe enough in a 4.5 year relationship to be able to put a timeline on marriage and children.
Absolutely. If he wants kids.
We are all bound by the laws of time, right? Like that's what makes life precious is we only have a certain amount of time, certain amount of years, especially years where you are going to have less fertility issues.
I mean, and I don't want to fearmonger because this person still has plenty of time. They're only 29. But what I will say, I think what is the most alarming about some general themes I'm seeing in these questions is when you have been with somebody for over 2 years and over 3 years even, and that there is not a clear idea of whether or not you're going to be together or whether or not you want a long-term future together. That is very scary to me.
I don't want to fearmonger. This person has plenty of time. But like you also in your life, how many times do you really fall in love and find a great partner? Like how many times does that really happen for someone? Mm-hmm. That I think is something that doesn't happen all the time. Like how many shots at that do you really get? And if someone is wasting all these years of your life where you could actually be meeting the person who does want those things with you, that makes me rashy. You know, that's why I have the whiskey next to me right now.
Yeah.
During this recording. Yeah. I'm not actually drinking, everyone. It's just a joke. But yeah, that's what upsets me because it's like, it is actually a lot more precious and fragile.
I agree.
And I think you're giving it credit for.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one.
Wait, what are we telling her to do though? What's our advice?
Seriously reevaluate?
Yeah. I would break up with this guy.
Seriously reevaluate. And you need to have a very hard conversation and you need to be prepared to, you know, end things if that conversation is not fruitful.
Exactly.
Because you will just continue to unfortunately have your time wasted. All right, here we go. One awesome date, but then he ghosted me after 3 days. 1 year later, he reached out to me saying it was too much too soon and he hasn't had an intense connection like that in a long time and was sorry. We kissed, but we didn't have sex. I like him a lot. Do I give him another chance? And then we asked a follow-up question to get some more context. And we asked, do you know what he was doing the year where he was ghosting you? And the person said, nope, I'd probably ask if I do go out with him again, but I haven't asked specifics over text. He's waiting for me to reply to his text, LOL. You know, all of his texts are saying he's sorry and he wants to see me again.
I am of a couple minds with this. I feel like if you had a great connection and you may be looking for a fun hookup, then go out with this guy. I think that those kind of chemistries, those kind of like moments are rare and can be rare. And so, yeah, if you're looking to just like hook up and have fun, go out with this guy.
I think she should absolutely give him another chance. I also think that she'll always probably wonder what could have happened or what would have been. So I think you should go on date number two, go through that door and at least like see. Because otherwise, I think like you can't judge what could have been off of just one date, I think.
The thing I will say, though, is I don't necessarily think that he's telling her the truth. It's just really a weird thing to say.
Well, I think that, I don't know that, you know, it was just too much too soon. I just don't know that I've ever met a guy or heard of a scenario where someone was like, I liked you too much that I had to like stay away. Like, unless it's like Edward Cullen and he's a vampire and he's afraid he's going to like accidentally kill you.
No, fully. Like, it's a little bit, it's just giving, it's not me, it's you. It's just giving bullshit. It's giving like a job interview where you're like, my only issue is that I'm too much of a perfectionist.
Yeah.
It's a line. And so that's why I say only go into it if you just want a hookup, because I'm not sure I would actually trust this person because it sounds like he's bullshitting her.
I think go on date number two. I don't know that this person's like a sociopath. And I think that men can be shady for sure. But I think go on date number two.
Go on date number two, but just with your eyes wide open to the fact that this person might be lying to you. You know?
Absolutely. Okay. Lauren, pick our next one.
This one is a wild ride, everyone. My ex, who I wanted to be back with, all of a sudden joined the Illuminati to get famous. Yep, everyone, you heard that correctly. This person says their ex joined the Illuminati to get famous.
To get famous.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, I asked for more details. This is what the person said. My ex is an aspiring producer and works with up-and-coming hip-hop artists in Manhattan/LA. I wanted to get back with him after a blow-up fight when he abandoned me in Boston, but when I went on his company's Instagram, all they have is videos of satanic rituals. I don't know for certain, but it sure as shit seems like Illuminati coming from him and his artists. I'm scared now to contact him because of all this. I miss him, but I can't get down with someone who sold his soul for fame. So my first thought was, I have been trying to get in touch with the Illuminati for years.
Years. You're doing everything you can.
I sending out smoke signals, emailing hello
at Illuminati.
At Illuminati.com.
Yep.
I have been trying to find
contact
them,
at Illuminati.com.
Yeah, we've been toiling away, you know, just working on this podcast for 4 years. If the Illuminati could have helped speed that up, you know, it would have been great.
We would have done it.
Yeah, absolutely. No question. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so when I saw this DM, I wanted to message her so bad and be like, oh, really? The Illuminati? You know, I've been trying to get in touch with them for years. But she sent me the videos, and this is where it gets weird. I don't believe in the Illuminati. I don't believe the Illuminati exists. However, I watch the videos, and it's fully, like, the most disgusting stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's like a guy drinking blood and then, like, spitting it out, and, like, it's very dark. It's very weird. And so my joke that I've been trying to get in touch with the Illuminati all hinges on my belief that the Illuminati doesn't exist, you guys. And it's just a funny thing to say. I don't act, but now I'm just like, oh my gosh, is this real?
They could be real. Something as well that she mentions is that he's so hot and she does feel tempted to get back together with him. It seems like she might even be sort of into his darkness, maybe not into the Illuminati stuff, but there's something about this man that, you know, is tempting her.
Yeah, wait, listen to this. She says, these videos are so bad. They're from so many various artists. It never used to be like this. She says it has pentagrams and fire rings and ceremonies and weird crap. It's totally ritual stuff. I don't even know if I can reach out to him, but he's so hot. And I'm like, oh man, I'm tempted. This is a red-blooded American listener.
This is what I want to ask. Is there anyone else in your Rolodex, in your contact book, in your DMs that you could potentially work this through with? I think that we should just, let's explore other avenues.
Yeah, I think that this girl just wants to get laid. I'm not sure she's looking for the future father of her children. So I would say I would shy away from anyone who is actively, you know, eating children or whatever they do.
Sure.
All this sick stuff. My advice would be to resist the urge.
Resist the urge. Be strong, sister. Be strong.
I get it, though. If you heard our last Patreon episode, you know, I shared some desperate lengths I went to during lonely nights. Okay.
Wow. What a teaser. You know, I think this next scenario is somewhat related to the previous one.
Okay.
The question is very simple. Should I stay with a man whose morals do not align with mine, but he makes a ton of money? An age-old question.
I asked for more details, and so I got the details. So this person says, I'm a teacher who makes X amount. He's a director for the university. He makes double what I do. But then she says he is a bar bum and abuses alcohol daily, then rage texts me at all hours, calling me the C word and a whore. I am more introverted and health conscious, preferring
Sounds
to
like a whore.
Spend my Sorry. Free time. Oh my gosh. Preferring to spend my free time working out, I drink maybe twice a month and I'm a woman of faith. We've been together for 6 years. We were both 60. I feel like there are no other men out there, so I might as well stick with this short man syndrome dude. Am I the problem? Would you treat another woman like this? The dating pool is a dumpster fire.
Okay, this is where I pull out the Japanese whiskey again and take a big, long drink.
First of all, I'm super flattered that someone who's 6 years old thinks that we have any wisdom to impart, because I sure as shit don't think I have any wisdom to impart, but I'm flattered.
Absolutely. I just feel like this guy, you need to break up with him yesterday.
Well, I think you're listening to Gary Turner too much. You know, at our age, there's no time. You never know. No, you have time. You absolutely have time. This is not like, this is not the person you want to be sitting on, you know, your porch in a rocking chair with.
There's so many deal breakers, immediate breakup things. I'm sorry, but anyone ever calls you any of these names, let right. alone calls you names at all, and then an alcoholic.
She says that she's a woman of faith. I bet there's a really nice guy at your church.
Rage texts her. I mean, I'm sorry, but also, like, isn't it so much better to just have peace and be alone than be in a relationship? Which brings me to another question someone mm-hmm. asked, which maybe we should kind of bring up to give this woman some.
Okay.
You know, just kind of
fully leave her behind with no wisdom.
No, we're not going to leave her behind. We're going to bring her our wisdom. Don't worry, Chandler. But someone wrote, why can't we embrace single life? Why are relationships so much more valued? And I really do question that. Like, I think that, yes, relationships are so wonderful. But I think that the wrong relationships, especially, are like, just make your life so much worse.
So much worse. So much worse. Literally.
Yes. Yeah. It's so much worse than being alone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that... Yeah, the stress and sadness of a bad relationship is 1,000 times worse than the loneliness at times of being single.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So advice.
You're amazing. Break up with this guy.
Find a nice guy at your local church, a man of faith.
And I really do believe that there's got to be better options than this guy. Like, even if they're not, you know, your permanent forever option, I think that there's just, it's only up from here. That's my advice.
Agreed. Agreed. Okay, let's move on though.
So this next one, told long-term boyfriend I don't want to live together till we're engaged, but we basically are. Help. Well, I feel like I kind of said the same thing to Ben. And I remember having this conversation with you, Lauren, because I think you said, like, you know, Heather Dubrow said, I would never live with someone until I had a ring on my finger. And I think you said the same thing about yourself.
I gave Kagan the speech too. Both of us went back on our words, you know, tail between our legs, moved in. And lived in sin with our boyfriends.
Boyfriends. Lived with our boyfriends.
Yeah. Talk about whores. So where to really start with this?
I mean, I don't think we can really give advice on this. I do think it's funny that we both kind of had this, like, I think it's normal to have this idea of, like, your rules and your, you know, your protocols and how they will all be perfectly, mm-hmm. you know, enacted. And then to have just, like, life get in the way. What I am kind of trying to read between the lines, though, is that maybe she thinks that they're even further off from getting engaged because, you know, now they live together. And I think that, if anything, moving in together made us feel way more like life partners and affirmed the choice to be together and that we really liked living out our daily lives, you know, like right mm-hmm. next to each other.
I remember when I worked for Stance, I was talking with another girl who worked there and I was telling her, like, oh, I'm nervous about moving in with my boyfriend because I don't know if, like, it's going to be like what my mom said. If you give them mm-hmm. the milk for free, they don't need to buy the cow or whatever. And I remember she was like, you know, actually, like, when my boyfriend and I, after we moved in together, our relationship just got so much more serious. And getting engaged and getting married felt more like a natural next step versus, like, this big leap. And so I think mm-hmm. it can deepen and solidify a relationship.
Yeah, I want to just tell them that I don't think that they've made some huge mistake that's going to stall them, you know.
No.
Yeah.
If anything, it's just going to hasten a proposal, or it'll hasten the end of the road because, like, for whatever reason, you guys will realize that you're not right for each other, or, you know, this guy won't be any more serious with you regardless of the fact that you're living together.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to a lighter question. You ready, Lauren?
Sure.
What do people do when the person they are having an affair with and truly love die? I've always wondered, is what this person wrote. This is crazy.
I know what
this
happens.
Is, What happens?
I know what happens, Chandler. When the person that you have an affair with dies, every year on the day that the person dies, you will experience what's called cardiomyopic myopathy. Okay?
Is this a Grey's Anatomy episode or something?
Don't you remember in Grey's Anatomy? There's this woman and she comes in every year with like this, basically this low-key heart attack, okay? And they're trying to figure it out. And they say like, is there anything significant to this date? And sure. They're like, no, no. And then the husband, I think, says, he's in the room and he's like, yeah, it's the day like Steve died. And then the husband leaves the room and Katherine Heigl sits on the bed and she takes the woman's arm and she says like, who was Steve? And the woman says, Steve was the neighbor next door and I loved him for 32 years. And so Katherine Heigl says, every year she's suffering from this cardiac event because of the man that she loved, his death.
Oh my gosh, Lauren, what a gorgeous retelling of an iconic Grey's Anatomy episode. Well, we have the answer.
Sorry, thank you. That's a 10-year-old memory. I haven't watched that episode probably in at least 10 or 15 years. But I would love to revisit some Grey's Anatomy. It's truly the best show that's ever been written. Before I
close my eyes and walk away. You have stress cardiomyopathy.
Cardiomyopathy. What is, can you tell me what that is?
It's Ted.
Ted?
Ted. Not just the neighbor you barely knew, was he?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Because every year on the day he died, you get a rush of adrenaline caused by stress. Your pressure rises. You have chest pains. And you end up here.
27 years. I loved the man next door and he loved me. I know how this is gonna sound. Ted was my soulmate. And then he just died.
It's great. Your heart stops because you're grieving for Ted.
So, what do I do next? I mean, how do you treat it?
I wish I knew.
So that's what happened. That's what happens, excuse me. Now you know. Yeah, we can clear the air on that.
Mystery solved. Let's move along.
Okay, wait. What was the question again? Can you read the question again?
What do people do when the person they are having an affair with and truly love die? I've always wondered.
Oh, right.
I think they just like try to find a way to move on.
I think that's
like the most lame answer.
Just have a very dramatic inner life. That no one knows about.
They're super complex. Congratulations on being more interesting than everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. They can just enjoy the tortured poets department more than everyone else, which brings me to our next question. I need to talk to you about a stunning experience I had. I got a massage yesterday and I took an early bird gummy an hour before my massage. 30 minutes into my massage, I'm starting to nod off. I never nap. I never fall asleep during massages. I was so relaxed and I was getting concerned. I'm like, why am I falling asleep? And then I remembered it was the early bird.
Like, oh yeah.
I can't even describe to you guys how good an early bird gummy plus massage is. It already makes you feel so like warm and melty and gooey. And then to be getting a massage, it's a peak experience.
No, that sounds peak. I need to try that immediately. I cannot say enough good things about early bird. It is something I never want to run out of. Mm-hmm. I love knowing that if I need to get a good night's sleep, I've got it. And if I just want to kind of take the edge off while I watch a show or, you know, just want to scroll on Reels, it's there for me.
You guys, the great thing about Early Bird gummies is that they are a recreational hemp product and contain 2.5 milligrams of natural THC and 12.5 milligrams of CBD in each gummy.
So everyone go to earlybirdcbd.com and use the code popapologist20 for 20% off.
earlybirdcbd.com, popapologist20 for 20% off.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
Thank goodness you're bringing up this question, because please.
I'm in a happy relationship, but really want to experience the torture poets department. Do I break things off for a week?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
100%.
Like, I'm having dad drop divorce papers. Kagan doesn't know he's going to get served this afternoon here in Puerto Rico. Because I, too, need to feel like I'm in a breakup.
The morning it comes out, I'm going to leave my engagement ring on my pillow, slip out of the apartment with my headphones, and go listen to TTPD and just see what Ben does.
You should leave the engagement ring on the pillow and then also just have a note by it, because he might just think it slipped off for the night. You should have a note by it that says, I'm sorry, I can't do this.
I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. Then I come back like an hour later with like a nice coffee. So just listen.
Oh, it would be so good. Oh,
it's my so God. Dramatic.
Honestly, I am so envious right now of people in breakups, because I just feel like they're about to have the most incredible album anthem delivered to them on a silver platter. And we're going to have to really, Chandler, like mentally go into the space we used to be in. I'm just going to have breakups.
Gear up to like, I don't know, channel rage towards my ex-boyfriends, which sounds exhausting, but I guess that's what I'll have to do.
Okay. Bring up this next one?
Please.
Dating someone who you don't have instant chemistry with, is that something that can change?
What is instant chemistry? Is this person not attracted to the other person? That's kind of what I'm thinking.
This person is not, this person probably thinks this guy's cute enough, but is not actually that attracted to him. That's my guess.
I don't think this can be fixed. I mean, I will say, I don't think looks are the most important thing, but if you are not initially off the bat attracted, there is not some carnal part of you that is desiring them, that's not going to show up on the third date.
Looks are one of the most important things that you should look for when you're dating. That's first and foremost what I'll say.
I've said that about my podcast co-hosts. And if you let it slip, literally.
Okay. I just think that monogamous long relationships, they go through ebbs and flows. Okay. And sometimes I think when an ebb is happening, you can look back into your like rabbit days. Okay. With that person, when things were first happening and it was all the time. And I think that that memory is such a core part of your ability, I think, to be like, oh, like we don't actually have problems. Like it's just a stressful time with work and we'll get through it and all is well.
Yeah.
I think you have to have that initial crazy, fiery, fun sexual chemistry. Or to me, it just spells out feeling so unsatisfied like 10 years later.
And honestly, the person you're with deserves to feel super wanted and desired by the other person.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're not doing them any favors.
Oh, I completely agree. Okay.
Let's see. So this is kind of related. Disagreements between higher and lower desire partner long-term marriage. I think what they're referring to is libido.
Definitely.
Do we have any suggestions?
Being the high desire partner, it's hard for me to relate to this. No,
you are the high desire partner? Being, you know, we're both, you know, every single day.
Kagan and I are both high desire. And so it's just like, who desires it more that day?
Right.
That's really what we grapple with. No, I'm just kidding. That was such
so
a
annoying
joke.
Also, that's definitely like, not the you're case. That's such a pick-me-girl answer.
Such a pick-me-girl answer. No, I mean, I don't know. I don't have actually any experience with this, because I think that Kagan and I are quite compatible. So that's an annoying answer too.
That's really annoying. I just think it's really normal. Like, if there's any part of you that feels like, oh, nobody's dealing with this, no one deals with this, I think a lot of people deal with this. And I think that it has to be an ongoing conversation about what are you desiring? You know, I don't know if you're the higher or the lower person, but, you know, are you desiring that like literal sex? Or are you desiring like being present with the other person, or like actually having like dedicated attention and time? I don't know. Esther Perel has a bunch of books and stuff.
I have a hot take on this, which is that if the male partner is more desiring, okay, than the female partner,
that
is not something to necessarily be worried about. No, it doesn't mean that you need to be in an open relationship. But this is what I will say. I will say if a guy all of a sudden, especially if your guy is basically declining, I think that you should really look into problems there. I think that if the woman is more high desire, I think that, and especially if the guy's behavior has changed, I just think that a lot of times men, they're giving their sexual. I remember this woman told me this. I was dating this guy. Things were not going well. He was stepping out on me. I didn't know it. And anyway, I remember talking to a friend and she was like, he's giving his sexual energy to someone else. And I think that some guys are watching OnlyFans, they're watching porn, they're sexually dysfunctional. And so I just think that if you're a woman and you're more hard to high desire and you're being turned down, I think there's something to look into there.
Well, I think the important thing that you are referring to is if suddenly there's been a change.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Because I think there is also just like, you know, you're in a long relationship and your desire goes from every single day to once a week to whatever, totally. You know, like I don't think that it necessarily means that somebody's getting, cheated on. But I think if there's suddenly an abrupt change and, you know, and it's very severe and it, you know, essentially like plummets fully, then I think, that is something to look into.
Okay. Someone says, how to cope if your husband/boyfriend cheats?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a boyfriend, click, goodbye.
Yeah.
And honestly, goodbye. I think if it's a husband as well, I don't know. I just don't know that I can honestly get past it. Like, unless you're like, I know what led us here. I know I've been so neglectful of this person. I've been awful, whatever. It's hard for me to really even wrap my brain around that. I just think relationships are built on trust. And when that trust is gone, I just don't know how you build back from there.
We've gotten this question before, and I think we've kind of said, you know, it kind of depends on what the cheating was, one-time thing, you know, long-term affair. But to be honest, I think all those are valid factors. But I don't think I could recover from it if they were my boyfriend or my husband. I think it's super hard to move on from that. Okay, this is the next one. Please help me with how to get my boyfriend to work on being more romantic in our relationship.
That is a tough one. That's
another age-old question.
I don't have the answer to this. Do you?
I don't know. I think like, okay, have you done a little bit of work to understand what your love language is? Like, what type of romance are you desiring? Mm-hmm. Because I think you might need to hand your boyfriend a little bit of an instruction manual and be like, hey, I need words of affirmation. I need you to plan a date night. I need a physical touch, whatever it is. I think that can be very helpful with like demystifying whatever it is like that, you know, when a man isn't delivering for you. So I think you should definitely sort of unlock whatever your love language is and then be extremely clear with your boyfriend about what you need them to do.
Yeah.
And it's honestly like giving them like marching orders. It's fine.
I'm with you. I think a lot of times men need it spelled out. This is the reason why I not only tell King what I want for Christmas every year, but if I know he hasn't gotten it for me a couple days before, I will literally just buy it myself and I will wrap it myself and I will open it on Christmas Day and I will enjoy the present. Sometimes he's very busy and it's just not going to work out. And I feel like, you know, sometimes you just have to basically like do as much as you can for yourself. And if that's giving your boyfriend or partner full instructions, give them those instructions.
Yeah.
If that's literally getting yourself a little present that's from them and then they're going to give it to you and pay for it, then do that, because I've done it and it's been delightful.
I've absolutely, I 100% have experienced this. I have said to Ben, I would like you to buy me flowers more often. I would like to receive flowers. And I will tell you that, you know, when I have done this, at least once or twice after the fact, he has brought me flowers. Have I had to remind him? Well, but it's not very romantic actually at all, but it's not like now, you know, he never misses a week where he doesn't bring me flowers, but it's like, it's okay to just be like, hey, this little tiny thing would mean a ton to me and would go a huge way with making me feel loved and adored, whether that's, you know, and I just happen to be someone who appreciates all the love languages, gifts, cash, words, touch, everything. So I accept all forms of payment. In this relationship.
You absolutely do. And I love that Ben rose to the occasion for that, Chandler.
Yeah,
at least you're getting flowers a few times.
Once or twice.
Yeah, or you got some flowers once.
I got some flowers at one point.
Someone writes, I have a crush on a guy, but he's with another girl who is leading him on. I don't have any other dating prospects, and I already DM'd him asking him out, but he hasn't replied. I know I should probably move on, but I can't get past it. Move on. Move on, girl. Yeah. Move on. He is if not he interested. He's not replying to your DMs. Literally, you listen to this podcast. So you must be pretty with it. You must be pretty smart. You must be stylish and wearing great jewelry. You can do better than this dude.
If he's with a woman who's leading him on, he's not a self-respecting man. And you don't want a man who doesn't respect himself or his time.
Entirely. Entirely. Okay, you guys, we are going to cut to a pop apologist golden moment. Absolutely. It's going to be a longer one, okay? Because it's basically a full episode that we did. That we are going to cut to right now. It's our relationship red flags episode. So you've just listened to some really sage wisdom. And we want to bring you some even more smart and thoughtful red flags for you to look out for in your search for your husband or girlfriend or whatever you're looking for out there.
Yes. Yes. Enjoy. This is the relationship red flags episode.
It truly will shock you. The red flags. That's what I will say. If you have not listened, they will take you by surprise, but that's why you need to listen to this even more, because these are things you don't realize are red flags, but they are major problems.
Major, major problems.
Okay, enjoy. All right, Chan, today we are discussing red flags in relationships. I think this is like the first of its kind where we kind of do a topic-based episode, so we'll see how this goes.
Well, and I would just like to state that the reason why Lauren and I are experts on this subject and why this episode is so important to us is because we have a long history of dating, less than great men.
Less than savory characters, if you will.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So let's get into it. The first one I have that I want to discuss. Why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, let's just set the scene. In the words of Kacey Musgraves, whose album, by the way, I kind of thought was a letdown. But anyways, and that's a topic for another day. Mm-hmm. We asked everybody on IG to send us their relationship red flags. And boy, oh boy, did we get some responses. Looks like everyone else has also had a bad dating history. So, you know, we're not alone. Let's start with a few heavy hitters, okay?
Okay.
The first one says just this. Wears flip-flops unnecessarily.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We grew up in a beach town and there's nothing we hate more than flip-flops.
I mean, there is just such a like Southern California dad vibe, which is flip-flops year round, day after day. And ultimately what that says is this person has lost all respect for themselves.
No ambition.
Zero sense of style, zero sense of personal decorum or taste.
Right.
And they have completely let themselves go.
Right.
And that's not a good place to start out. That might be a place that you end up, you know, might be as inevitable as the years ticking on themselves. However, it's something you should avoid at the beginning of a relationship, because this is a person who's just way too comfortable in their ways.
Absolutely. Way too comfortable in their own skin. Something, you know, I don't like to usher in. Yeah. I also think it's interesting, you know, wears flip-flops unnecessarily. I don't actually think there's ever a time when it's necessary for men to wear flip-flops. I prefer, you know, my man to – I haven't actually voiced this to him, but I don't think I ever want to see him in flip-flops.
I don't think we want to see their feet, period.
No. Have you discussed this with Kagan, you know, regarding your upcoming nuptials?
Of course I have. And I also live in Puerto Rico. Kagan wears flip-flops most of the time. And it's just – it's a fact of my life. Yeah, and it's something I'm just grown accustomed to. He actually does put on tennis shoes whenever we go to dinner, and I feel like he does make an effort to wear actual shoes.
Yeah.
But, you know, the flip-flops, they're part of the lifestyle in PR.
I will say that my flip-flop, superiority is a little bit rich, considering the fact that I put on a crazy pair of socks today and then put on those, like, pillow slides that you get on Amazon and wore those around all day.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. I'm basically defying all of these rules, but whatever. It's double standard. It always has been. It's a man's world and, you know, whatever. Yada, yada, yada.
You know what it really is? It's about the guy who shows up for a dinner in flip-flops. Who, like, you're going out to dinner and their move is flip-flops. That's the guy you want to avoid. If he wears flip-flops to the grocery store randomly, if he wears it to the beach, of course. You know, we wish he didn't. We wish he put on, like, a dignified tennie.
or a Sperry, but these are appropriate circumstances. It's really when you're going out to dinner and you look down and the guy has a button down or a polo on or just a t-shirt, of course, because they, you know, heaven forbid, they dress up a little.
Right.
And you can see those toe hairs, you know?
Toe hairs. Ugh. Not even toenails. Like it's all, it stops the toe hairs.
It's just so undignified. It's so undignified.
We're going to ask this question a lot tonight, and that is WWBFD. What would Brad Falchuk do?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Would he wear flip-flops? No.
Never. Never. I bet you guys never worn them in his life. Mm-mm. Okay. Let's
moving
right along. This is something that I think a lot of women need to look out for. And it's something that I think initially can draw them in, but it's ultimately a red flag as deep and crimson as their own blood. Okay.
Oh, wow. Ready? Jeez. Took a visceral turn.
I did just come up with that on the fly.
Wow.
Plays the guitar. This is something that's a problem. Okay. Yeah. Listen, it's fine if he's able to play the guitar, but if he is an actively engaged guitar player in his spare time, I think your life is going to be difficult. I do think you're going to have a difficult life with this person. There's going to be too many feelings, okay? Just too much sentimentality, a little too many like earnest urgings to strum a tune, you know, when you really just need him to help you unload the groceries. It just says something about their overall approach to life that I think is going to make your life hard.
I can already see, fast forward, you know, 25 years from now, you know, to being a person who's with a person who plays the guitar and just seeing that guitar, you know, strewn about the house when the house is already disheveled. Right. It's like, can't you just pick up your GD guitar? Okay. I don't want to pick up your Costco guitar every time, you know, I need to clean up the den.
Oh, even worse, you're going to be helping get your kids into the bath or something, or you're going to be doing some sort of chore and you're just going to hear the sounds of the Beatles coming from the third bedroom. And it's going to make you like so rageful.
It's going to mean homicide or divorce, one or the other.
One or the other. I would stay away from musicians, period.
Isn't that so funny? Because truly, in my early 20s, I would have given my right arm to date a musician.
That's because women in their early 20s, and this was my own experience, honestly don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. True. They are idiots when it comes to dating. Most of them have no savvy. It's a very unfortunate fact of life. And some of them get stuck in those relationships, unfortunately for them.
And don't get me wrong. I love earnest desires and yearnings. I just want them in the form of a card or spoken to me, not saying.
Yeah, I think that it's just a red flag if they're engaged in with any sort of art in a serious way.
What if that's their profession? What if they're actually an artist by trade? Also red flag?
It's all an issue.
Okay.
Like what kind of artist do you see where it's working well? Like maybe you're Morgan Stewart and you got Phil McGraw and you got that.
Right.
You're on that payroll.
If your in-laws have an LLC, you're good.
Let me tell you, most of the time you're going to be in one of two situations. A, they're going to be an artist and you're going to be broke. Or B, they're going to be an artist and they're going to have women throwing themselves at them.
Right.
There's just no middle ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I have to say about that.
Okay. Great.
All right. Now that we've alienated all men who have, you know, any sort of artistic sensibilities or interest in the humanities, what do we have next?
Okay, let me see. Bad credit.
Yeah, this is a doozy. If SoFi doesn't want to offer him a, you know, 9.99% interest rate loan, there's no reason you should offer him a second date.
Well, and here's what I'll say. I think the lady can have, you know, a credit history of her own, but that's between the lady and her God. And I think that the man should always have an impeccable credit score and credit history.
Okay, you just say that because you you have like a history of maybe not the most pristine of credit.
Yes, I do say that, but I just want to make it abundantly clear that I think that if here's where I'm just going to fully own the double standard. I think that if a man has bad spending habits and isn't good with money, like, I feel way more comfortable being the woman in the relationship who isn't good with money. I don't know that I feel comfortable dating someone who wasn't good with money.
Well, I think that you definitely need to balance each other out. But I ultimately think that these go both ways. And so I'm actually going to disagree with you here.
Well,
I can see what you're saying.
All I'm saying is that it's about the lady's credit history. Do you like how I'm saying the lady?
Yes. Yes. I realize that you're being kind to yourself right now, which is an amazing thing. We all need to practice more self-love. But I want to say that I think all of these things, I actually think that they go both ways. Like
they do.
If you're dating a girl and she's an artiste, she probably is going to have a lot of feelings that are going to make your life difficult. You know what I mean?
Right.
These things really do go both ways. And so I would say that in terms of bad credit, that's something that guys should look out for too. It just means that someone can't handle their shit.
Right.
That's really what it means.
Right. And let me once again, for the third time this month, state on the podcast that I have excellent credit now. Okay. My credit is no longer in the red at all.
What is your credit score?
It's in the 700s, mid 700s, baby.
Really?
I guess it's not in the 800s. Yeah. But you know.
Okay.
We all have our own journeys.
We'll verify that later.
What's your credit at, bitch?
I mean, mid 7. The only way you can have – see, this is why I'm skeptical. The only way you can be like an 800 credit score at our age – actually, I don't even think you can. I think to get it to an 800, you have to have tons of credit history where you've just paid everything off on time for like 20 years.
Right.
30 years or something. Yeah. So that's why I'm skeptical of your mid 700s. Okay. But you know what? I think a 680 is totally respectable.
I'm like 676.
Okay. I have one. You ready?
Hit me with it.
Carries a weapon of any kind. This is actually was submitted, and this I feel so deeply in the core of my being.
Right. And you did used to date a mountain man. So can you just speak to that with your, you know, with your own personal history?
Yeah, the mountain man actually didn't carry any sort of weapons regularly. It's really the guy you need to look out for that carries either a pocket knife, a switchblade, or a concealed carry. The concealed carry, obviously, this person.
Absolutely, right.
Like, unless...
unless they work for a government agency.
Yes, exactly. But a guy who carries, especially like a switchblade, it's just such a... it's a guy who's more interested in seeming dangerous.
Tough, right.
Than in just being a normal person.
Right.
Like he's not confident enough in himself to just walk about life normally. He has to carry a switchblade with him.
Right.
I don't know. It says something about... and obviously it also depends on like the way that they present it. It's just about a guy who likes to shroud himself in a veneer of danger and seeming like some sort of character from a Hemingway novel. It's not a good look. It's a kind of an amateur, embarrassing, not comfortable in their own skin vibe. This will also be the same person who glorifies physical fights that they were in the past. That is also a huge red flag.
Absolutely. And if you're packing that type of heat, like what are you compensating for? That's all I'll say.
Honestly. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else do we have?
We have an excellent one submitted to us by the one and only Jenna Kingsley.
Okay.
This is following endless girls on IG. And I think that you and I would like to agree with this and then also add in, you know, one more qualifier. Following endless girls on IG that he doesn't know.
If he's following a bunch of hot girls and he just happens to have a lot of hot girlfriends, not a problem. It's the guy who's following like 100 or 50 or even 20 hot girls that he's never met in real life.
The IG models.
For every 10 hot IG models he follows, that's one time he's going to cheat on you, okay? That's a good like math combination. Math formula. That's a good formula you can use to, you know, look into the crystal ball of your future.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I would say additionally, following any sort of porn star or pornographic actress on Instagram. This should come as obvious. Let's just say there were guys that I went on a few dates with. I noticed that this was happening and I somehow rationalized it. So I'm here to be the canary in the coal mine for young women.
Lauren, you are waving a huge red flag, and I can see you waving it desperately. And it's a beautiful thing that, you know, you're being so honest about this because I couldn't agree more. It's really dark. Go through your man's explore page. We've said it before. We'll say it again. It's better than going through text messages, not something I sanction. But if you want to know who you're dating, look at his explore feed. Guys who only use Snapchat. If a guy is constantly snapping other ladies or is constantly snapping, it's kind of immature to me. It's like, don't you have like work? Don't you have a job?
I also think that the way that messages disappear, there's no history. It's like a guy who basically only uses incognito mode. He only sends DMs on Vanity. It's just like, what do you have to hide?
Right.
Yeah, right. And it's a very juvenile app.
Totally.
So really, are you dating an 18-year-old?
Right. Are you like trying to pick up on high schoolers? Right. Okay, wait. Can we double back quickly to the credit thing? Because someone has another response on here about bad credit. And I want to I want to add some color to what we said. So this person said, guys who only – this is like their red flag. Guys who only pay in cash and carry like $2,000 on them. That's a sign of bad credit and inability to get credit. Wow. This is the smoking gun. For the record, when I didn't have great credit, I never carried cash. I never carried $2,000 on me, but very interesting.
Yeah, or they're a drug dealer.
Right, literally.
You know what? Yeah. That's actually very smart because if a guy just had a ton of cash on him, I would just assume, wow, this guy's
rich.
Loaded.
Right, right.
Filthy rich. OMG. Mm-hmm. But that's true. Truly, I mean, I think that truly rich people never pay with cash ever. Yeah. Like, don't carry any cash ever.
Or they carry like a few hundreds on them sometimes.
That's true.
And that they never really use.
Right. It's just like a casual 300. But if he's always traveling, packing heat in the form of cash, that is something to look out for. He's either dabbling in illicit activities or he has terrible credit.
Right.
So we'll let you decide if either of those are savory for you.
You be the judge, ladies.
Okay. I have one that I think is truly, truly the golden standard, the thing that applies to basically all of us. And I think that women need to hear this, they need to internalize it, and they need to act on it. Okay, you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
And this is a more of a serious one. When he doesn't act interested in you.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies, if they want you, you will know it. You will know it. They will call you. They will text you when they say they will text you. They will get in touch. They will make sure that you have plans. There will be no ambiguity. There is not a situation where they're going to, you know, lose their phone or be really busy. None of that is going to happen. Okay. If they like you, they will show it and you will know it. And any guy who you want, who you don't know if they like you or not, they don't. It's time to move on.
You were just channeling a little bit of Shira right there, and it was amazing.
I was channeling Shira. That's correct. Are we going to tell people about Shira, or is that going to be – are we saving
No, we should absolutely tell people about Shira. I think we even have maybe in our early episodes, but it's no, time
we never have.
Really?
We never have. And I'm not prepared to talk about Shira because Shira, I feel like we need to bring in clips. We need to be really prepped for that episode.
Okay, well, okay, that's fine. Let's leave this in, though, because I think Shira is an important like person to tease because I think – like, she's an important person we need to bring up again. So everyone stay tuned. We'll do an episode about Shira, who is the love guru.
Shira, let me just say, there's a woman named Shira on this planet. She completely changed my life. I think she's the reason I'm engaged today. She's an authority on relationships and love and male-female dynamics. And I bow down at the altar of Shira.
I'm going to say move over Oprah Winfrey, move over Super Soul Sunday, move over Brené Brown, move over, you know, radical gratitude or whatever her thing is. Shira. We worship, you know, at the feet of Shira.
Exactly. So, you know, that episode will take a lot of work on the front end, but we'll do it. Maybe we'll we might have to do it on the Patreon. It might be a little too inflammatory for the regular episode. But Shira tells it like it is. She's a truth teller. She's a seer. She's a revelator.
I'll leave you with a choice snippet, or I'll leave you with a choice tidbit, which is stop caring. Why do you care? Stop caring.
Stop caring. Why do you care? It's truly, truly.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Also, I want to say this too. There's a song, When a Man Loves a Woman. Literally, the words of that song are so true.
Will you read them?
Okay. Yeah. I'll do a dramatic reading. When a man loves a woman, can't keep his mind on nothing else. He'd trade the world for the good thing he's found. If she is bad, he can't see it. She can do no wrong and turn his back on his best friend if he puts her down. When a man loves a woman, spends every last dime and trying to hold on to what he needs, he'd give up all his comforts and sleep out in the rain if she said that's the way it ought to be. Anyway.
Did you actually just know that from the heart?
No, I had it pulled up.
I was going to say, because you – it wasn't even like I heard you type or anything. It was like instant. It was really nice.
Yeah. I'm prepared.
Well done.
I'm prepared for this episode. Thank you. Honestly, if you are questioning, like, okay, Kagan at this point, he can entertain other things than my love for him, unfortunately. He's got more going on in his mind. But in the beginning of a relationship, the most important part, the courting process, you will be the only thing on his mind primarily. And also, you will know that he's into you.
Right.
You will know that he's into you.
Yeah.
Do not, if you're rationalizing the way that they're treating you poorly, that just means you have a guy who's not that into you. Period.
I mean, I will say safely that, you know, 70% of my relationships were me rationalizing someone treating me poorly.
Yes. Yes. You like, could be dating someone who is not that into you, like boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I also want to say this kind of dovetails off of this nicely. If a guy asks you to split the check or accepts your offer to split the check on the first date, please run out of the restaurant screaming. Get out of there. Call the police. Absolutely not.
To me, it's like he asked you on the date. He invited you on this date. That's usually the way it goes. Right. That's not the case. Whatever. You know, you're progressive. We get it. He asked you on the date. Let him pay, for goodness sakes.
You should offer, because I think that it's only appropriate to offer. I think that in 2021, it's inappropriate to not offer, okay? If he says yes, get ready to split everything for the rest of your life.
I don't even know if you should offer on the first date.
Really?
I don't know if, like, when the check – it's always those awkward moments where the check gets there. And yeah. No, if neither of you acknowledge it, and then, you know, if he beats you to it and says, oh, let me get this – you know, do you then say, are you sure? Like, I guess, I don't know. I go back and forth with, like, whether or not you have to offer or if you just say, thank you so much.
I think you don't go wrong by offering. I think not offering can come across as a little entitled and a little bratty. I think that offering is a classy move.
I agree. I think it is a classy move as well.
I don't think it's a needy move. I don't think it makes you look like you think you don't deserve to be paid for, any BS like that. Give him the opportunity to really show you that he's a classy guy.
Right, right. Let him pull out that $2,000 in cash and use it on you during dinner.
Okay. Here's the other thing too, is I think that that doesn't mean that you know, he has to pay for everything for your whole relationship. But a man needs to lead and begin the relationship with a spirit of generosity. And if he doesn't have that spirit when he hasn't had sex with you yet, he is never going to have that spirit.
Can you speak more into the spirit of generosity? Because that's an interesting, that's an interesting choice of words.
Like, okay. So I was actually thinking about this today, and I was thinking, why is it that, you know, women generally, why do we have these customs? Why is it important that a guy in 2021, when women go to work and men go to work, why is it important that he offers to pay? Why is gentility and chivalry still important in our culture? Can I tell you why? I think it is. I think it's rooted in evolution. And it's because if your relationship is successful and you're like most people and you know, want a family and you get married, you as the woman, you will bear the brunt of the responsibility for 100% of childbearing and a lot most of childrearing. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. Right. I get that there are outliers. I get that there are amazing guys that stay at home. I totally get that. But for most people, that's just the way the cookie is going to crumble. And the way that as a culture, we've made up for that disparity in vulnerability and sacrifice is we have placed the onus on men to protect and provide.
Right.
And when we abdicate them of that responsibility and they don't show an impulse toward that
abdicate them. Wow. This is a stirring. This is like, I'm hearing this. I'm here for it.
I'm just sorry, but what cruel trick of feminism is that when we basically let men off the hook completely?
Completely. And it's, agreed.
Is why we have these customs. You can – listen, I split things with – not that I'm like the oracle on a hill, like my relationship is perfect, yada, yada, at all.
I think that your Instagram bio is the oracle on the hill.
I'm saying I split a lot of things with Kagan for a lot of our relationships.
Right.
split the rent with him for, you know, a few years. I split a lot of dates. You know, we definitely went more into that 50-50 mode for a good portion of our relationship. But you better believe we started out with him being generous and chivalrous.
Right, right.
Because the thing is like when you're both building a future together, it does sort of just become both of yours.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But in the beginning, they need to show you what's happening at the end. What the promised land looks like. Is this wrong?
No, I completely agree. I think here's the thing. I don't know. I wonder if we're going to get flack for this, but this is how my perspective, like when I first started dating Ben, he was extremely generous.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was a really great indicator of like, oh, he's like actually treating me so wonderfully. Like he's truly like investing. And it was like, it was like a sign of him investing and like really taking me out and like showing me a good time. And to me, that was like a really meaningful part of like, oh, he, I don't know. It was just a wonderful like indicator of like how serious like and good things were. And then I think like, yeah, our relationship has evolved into more of like, you know, splitting things. And because like, and we actually had like a conversation about it because that actually makes the most sense for like where our, like our lives are at.
Right.
And I don't think anyone needs to feel the burden of a relationship. And so I like, and you know, and we both want to do like fun things and whatnot. And so I guess I totally agree with you. And, but also I agree with you in the sense that women, it's just like a fact of life that women are going to pick up slack in the house. Like, hands down, we're going to have the kids. We're probably going to do most of the child rearing. Like, that's just kind of the way the cookie has always crumbled. And so it's okay if, like, right now maybe or, you know, at the beginning of your relationship, if the scales are a little bit tipped. Because you know what? It all comes out in the wash, baby.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And if you say that a girl wanting a guy to pay on the first couple dates is her being a gold digger – let me tell you, you're an idiot. And really what it is her just being having basic common sense and using her powers of perception to deduce if this guy is going to treat her well later on.
Right.
That's it. That's all it is. You don't have to go out to a nice meal. You don't even have to do some bougie thing. He could plan something really sweet, like a picnic in the park. Like the beginning, even if it's like a sweet gesture, it should be all on him.
Right. And I think that it's just a part of, it's just a part of that, those initial gestures that mean that go such a long way. But I do think it is obviously natural to then, you know, evolve into more of a 50-50, like you and I both have experienced in, you know, at different times.
Yes, absolutely.
Because because, you know, I think the other thing is like, sometimes I think if you're not 50-50, there is like, you know, if a guy is paying for everything, I can start to feel like I don't have as much say in what we do,
which
is not what I want at all. Ever.
There becomes an imbalance of power, especially if there isn't some sort of quid pro quo where, you know, you bear the larger responsibility for the domestic duties.
Right.
They pay for stuff. Mm-hmm. And that time, in that situation, it's more leveled out. But I'm not saying we all need a sugar daddy or, you know, some guy who's just going to pay for everything all the time. And I don't even think – I just don't – like our podcast listeners are smart. They don't need all these qualifiers. They know what we mean.
Right.
They're nodding their heads. They get it. And
they're nodding. They've got great credit.
Yeah. This is just gospel truth to smart women, you know?
Right.
So –
but it's just – it's so funny because I think our conventional wisdom that we were raised with was you should never pay for a thing.
Yeah, it was. But it was also like – but it was also
like 22.
Yeah, getting married by 22 and you work and put your husband probably through some sort of graduate school and you have this very traditional path. And so I don't think it was like you're going to marry someone and they're going to put, you know, suddenly you're going to enter the five-star lifestyle in any way.
Yeah.
It was just more thought of that we'd be young mothers, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So,
sorry, mom and dad.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, tried we'll to be make in the winter happen, of our 30s before that happens.
Oh, gosh, it's certainly feeling that way. No. Okay, I've digressed too long on that, but I think it bears repeating.
Absolutely. Do you think we should rewrite that book, The Rules, but like according to the Pop Apologists?
The Pop Apologists and Shira? If we had, I would say yes, but I know we don't have the work ethic. So.
Absolutely do not. If there's a ghostwriter out there who wants to listen to our podcast and try and, you know, mimic our voice, please have at it for free.
If you're interested in doing this for free or
pro bono,
you want to take like a cut of Pop Apologist once we go big, hit us up.
Right. Once.
Honestly, actually, us writing like some sort of dating book, it's really not a bad idea. Just in terms of like, it's a good business idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Something I'll think
about later. HarperCollins.
Yeah. If you work for HarperCollins or Penguin Classics, because I think it'll immediately be a Penguin Classic, hit us up.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is another one. I think we're getting into more serious topics, but I think it's important. I have two that I really want to touch on.
Okay.
Estranged from anyone in his immediate family. I think this goes both ways, both genders. This is honestly a friend thing too. If you if there is someone and they're estranged from their mother or father or one of their siblings and like haven't spoken to them in like a few years, and that immediate family member didn't commit a crime and was arrested by the police for some heinous act. They're not
in a penitentiary.
Right. For doing something truly horrible to another family member. Like, unless they meet a very high bar, I would say, of ill deeds, of ne'er-do-welling.
Ill deeds. Right. Yeah.
It shows that this person does not understand the value of family relationships, of loyalty. There's just a screw loose there, in my opinion.
Yeah. I've always said I just never want to be a person who cuts people out of their life. Like, I actually think I have maybe one person, and this is like an ex, who I've actually cut out of my life and haven't spoken to like since a feud. But I think that
exes don't apply to this.
Right. Exes don't apply. But I think even like if they are comfortable cutting people out of their lives and being estranged from people, obviously they're family. But I would even take it a step further. Like if they have a ton of like friends who they, you know, or if they like if there's bad blood with multiple people in their life, I think that's kind of a red flag.
Yes, I totally agree. It means
and obviously close family. I just think if you're willing to give up on your immediate family relationships. And like, yeah, like you said, the person didn't commit a heinous crime like that. Yeah, that really is a screws loose if you actually want to like cut family members out of your life.
Right. Okay. So another more serious one, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, Chandler. Single and never married past 35.
Oh, I don't think that's like a red flag. I think never had a serious relationship red flag. But if never married, I mean, I'm living in the real world. And I think that there's plenty of like eligible guys who have, you know, 35.
I totally disagree.
I think, I mean, yeah, maybe I would have it. Maybe I will have a different perspective on this in a few years. But right now, 35 doesn't seem like too old to not, you know, have been married.
I think that here's the deal. I think that good guys get snapped up really early and they tend, because they're good guys, they stay with whoever, you know, snaps them up, whoever they fall in love with first. Like they're good, loyal guys and they get snapped up really early. And I think that guys that are still single in their late 30s, and there's obviously like
– I wouldn't say 35 is your late 30s.
So. Okay, but 36 plus. 36 sure. plus. The cutoff is the 365th day of your 35th year of life.
Right.
If you begin your 36th birthday single – I'm going to caution any young women before they date you and or women, period. And this is why. This doesn't apply if you had like a failed engagement and you were on the path to that and some girl peaced out on you. That doesn't apply. But I do think that guys that are single in their late 30s, and I did kind of for a time in my life when I was in my 20s, not exclusively, but I dated a lot of guys in their late 30s because I mistakenly thought that they would be mature and ready for a serious relationship, not like the guys in their 20s. This was totally wrong. What I was doing was pre-selecting for guys who had commitment issues, who did not value family and were not able, you know, who wanted to play the field and had a history of that. And you will, most of the time, that's what you'll find if you meet a guy who's still single in his late 30s.
Yeah, I can see that. I think also you're going to meet guys who are jaded.
Yes.
And that is actually to me the scariest thing of all. It's like someone who's jaded.
I will never forget when I was on a date I was on a date with this guy who's in his late 30s, and he was complaining about the fact that, you know, dating women in their 30s, it was such a problem because they wanted to have kids, you know, really quickly. And they were like very much like kind of under the gun. And like, it was very much always a conversation. That was always like a conversation. And what I'm telling you is that these are the guys that don't understand that that's just the reality of life. And instead, like, are looking to just be Peter Pan's forever.
Yeah. 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 No, thank you. No, thank you, Peter. No, thank you, Pan.
Thank you. Yes, I totally agree with what I've just said. Okay. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Wow. Wow. You really took the words out of my mouth. That was amazing.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Sorry. I pontificated.
No,
hit me with more.
I mean, I think that's 100% the correct perspective. And it's so true. I don't know why people haven't written a book about this. We got to write a book because I fully used to think the same thing. Date someone who's a little bit older. They're going to be, you know, ready for that situation, you know, ready to move on to the next
step.
Ready
to settle down. They're going to have already accomplished all in their life. You're not going to have to, you know, you're not going to have to put them through medical school. They're already going to be a doctor, baby. No, yeah. No. These are the guys with serious issues. Like, I can't tell you how many of the girls I know that have great partners that met those partners when they're both 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's true.
I have another one.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. This is like crucial, ladies. Crucial gals, crucial women listening. How they speak about their exes will tell you everything you need to know. If every ex-girlfriend is crazy. Totally crazy.
Right.
Or if every ex-girlfriend is still in love with him.
Right.
Ugh. Whatever you do, get the hell away from that person. Run. You were dating a narcissist.
An egomaniac.
Like, that person belongs, like,
or
you know,
Can I throw another one into the ring?
What?
If every boss they've ever had is an idiot.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, I mean, yes. If they've been fired from multiple jobs and every time it was because of their idiot manager.
Run.
Honestly. This is a person who is the common denominator and the problem in both every relationship and every job. And there's a reason why they have negative feelings toward all of them.
Right.
It means that they know they were the problem. Deep down, they know it.
I don't even know. I don't even know.
And that's why they so violently blame the other party.
Mm. Okay. Can I throw in a random kind of funny one that I think is like hilarious? Correct?
Please. Correct.
Correct. I completely agree with what I just said. This one says, I had an ex who would only drink jugs of distilled water. This is very strange. Are they like are you sure you weren't dating a steamer? Right. I'm confused.
Yeah, that's very confusing.
I'm a water snob, but I mean, a simple Brita filter will do.
I don't really – this is going to, you know, be very embarrassing. I don't really know what the difference between distilled water and non-distilled water is.
You're clearly not ready for your upcoming nuptials.
No.
I don't know either.
Oh, great. Great. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe one doesn't have, like, minerals. I think some water gets, like, fluoride added to it and other minerals. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Cancer-causing fluoride. Great.
Right. And distilled does not have that. Like, that's why, like, you put distilled water in, like, a CPAP machine or, like, you know, in a steamer or something. So it doesn't, like, crystallize. Get, like, minerals. Wow. I just fully
knew the
answer to that.
Yeah. Wow. It's impressive. Can you imagine being fastidious enough to, like, really only put distilled water where the contractions it only took distilled water?
Yes. I know people who do. I don't think dad's that good. But, yeah, I do know people who do.
Wow. That's impressive.
Okay. Can I also get to another one?
Yeah.
If I may. Guys with too many posts/likes on Instagram. We've talked about this before, but I think it's interesting. Guys with, like, obviously we've talked about, you know, if your guy is more active on social media than you are, like, what would Brad Falchuk do? The only time it's, you know, acceptable for him to have to be extra on social media is when it's your birthday, and that's it. But it's just interesting to think about a guy with too many likes, like if they have their own little platform as well. How do we feel about that?
I don't like it. I don't want any part of it. No, I sound like such a snob, and that's because I am. No serious career entails for a man. That's, you know, a career that's going to be hot to me is going to entail a vivid social media presence. I'm sorry, especially on Instagram. Maybe they're a thought leader on Twitter or on LinkedIn. You know, I can get, you know, I can get down for that.
A thought leader on LinkedIn. I would rather die than date a thought leader on LinkedIn.
Whatever.
Let me just let the record state.
No, I'm not saying like a recruiter. I'm saying like they, you know, they are a CEO of a company if someone, and they regularly post on LinkedIn important things for the masses to know.
I mean, if they're – no, I actually have a bone to pick. Ben and I love nothing more than to talk about people who are annoying on LinkedIn. Like there's a difference between being – you know, running a company and actually being busy and then posting like motivational BS like on LinkedIn with a bunch of hashtags.
I agree. But if you want to announce that your startup was acquired by Google on LinkedIn, that's going to turn me the hell on. Okay?
Right, right, right. As long as you're not hashtag tagging it with like grind, hashtag hustle, hashtag, you know, never quit, whatever.
Or you started out with some like dramatic story, you know?
Right, right.
We need to do like a whole episode.
Selling it out of the back of my truck. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, actually, a whole episode on LinkedIn would be amazing.
I would say, honestly, any sort of overusage of social media is a big problem. And, and Instagram in particular, it's just not hot, to be honest.
It goes back to your time. How are you spending your time?
Right.
And obviously, as a lady, my time, you know, it doesn't matter what I do with my time. But as a man, it matters what you do with your time.
That's not true at all.
No, I'm just acknowledging quite possibly the double standard.
Oh. Life, we never said life was fair, okay?
Right, and
but we did say it would be worth it.
Yeah, I can't wait to destroy my body by having children.
Exactly. There we go. So she gets to scroll a little more, okay? You happy?
Oh, I get a few more scroll breaks in the day, okay?
Exactly. exactly.
You're not going to have to get reconstructive surgery down there one day.
This bitch isn't going to have to push out multiple humans through her vaginal canal, okay? Right. Or is going to. So please, take a step back. Don't criticize a single thing, okay? And just get the hell off your phone and do something useful with your life. Okay? Okay. And when we're talking about criticizing women, this brings me to my next one that I really want to talk to you about. And this is a big thing, and that is a major red flag. Some guys grow out of it. A guy that is overly critical or critical at all of other women's looks.
Mm.
This can be a real thing. Like there are definitely guys where the culture among their friends is to pick women apart. And to to talk about them and to always make a comment on the way a girl looks.
Yeah.
That's the first thing he says. I mean, this is so obvious, but it really is something where this guy is a total misogynist and he's, you know, he is someone you want to get away from.
Right, right. I think it's better, hopefully, if your guy is just like a little bit more oblivious.
Yeah. Or just like, honestly, look at their exes too. Did they date normal looking girls or were they only dating Bratz dolls?
I think that's so key. You're right.
Were they dating age appropriate girls?
Right, right.
I know that given what I've betrayed about my early dating history, it's a little pot calling the kettle.
Likewise. Same pot right there with you.
But I'm just saying, if they're in their 30s and they're exclusively dating girls that are 26 and below, this is a problem.
Right.
Okay, someone submitted, and I really appreciate this, into writing poetry even a little bit.
Once again, another pot calling the kettle black.
I remember when I was very into poetry, you know.
Here we go. Buckle up, everybody.
This is what I'm going to say. I was an emotionally volatile person who was not fit.
Still are.
Not in the same way, okay? Maybe still volatile, but not volatile in the romantic sense.
You're like lazy and emotionally volatile now.
How dare you? How dare you? I have a very stable romantic relationship.
No, I'm saying
you know.
Agreed. You do.
This is someone like okay. This is something that Courtney told me very early on in life that really, really resonated. She was saying that like basically she knows. You know what? it's okay if you marry someone who's not that romantic, because you at least you know they're not going to be petting verse for anyone else. They're not going to be, you know, falling in head over heels in love quickly with another person.
If they can't stop, you know, like exuding romantic energy, like that's maybe, yeah, exactly, a red flag.
Any sort of.
At some point, that's going to maybe get old with the same person. And then they're going to start to look for somebody new.
Yeah, it's going to be cringy. It's like the guy who reads Charles Bukowski. Any guy who's reading Charles Bukowski, please just leave him, leave him in Barnes & Noble.
Any guy who loves to talk about how much they love Hemingway or Fitzgerald, like, I'm just going to go ahead and throw that one in there as well.
Exactly.
We get
exactly.
it. You took ninth grade English.
Right.
But back to what you're saying,
Or Jack Kerouac. I honestly could grow up in my own mouth.
Right, right, right. Get a job. I want to go back to what you're saying, because I do think it's like a fine line. Like, you want – I want to be with someone who's always going to be romantic. Like, I don't want to date someone who's, you know, that well is dry, or be with someone like that.
Of course. But
it's the degree, I think, to which they are, and how much they like – how effusive they are all the time, and if that's like really realistic.
I just think that overly emotional romantic men are like the quickest men to cheat. Because they will inevitably come across some bitch later in life that they just, you know, they must know better. They need to understand, you know, they want to wake her up in the middle of the night just to hear what she says, just to hear what she has to say.
Are you quoting Aerosmith?
I'm quoting the Runaway Bride trailer, okay?
Oh my gosh.
You are just trying to make me run.
You want a man to wake you up at dawn. He's just bursting to talk to you. Can't wait another minute just to find out what he'll say.
Here's the deal. If a guy, and this is like also this dovetails into another red flag. If he's super quick to marriage, if he's super quick to falling in love with you, he'll be just as fast with some other hoe. Not to call you a hoe.
Right, right. Wow. Well, thank you for not calling me a hoe. Wow. I mean,
trying to show some restraint.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, the poetry thing, it's very much like in the guitar family. It's just, you know, feeling like too many feelings are not a good thing. Put it on my tombstone.
Trying to see if there's anyone else. Oh, this is a hilarious one. Any improv experience whatsoever.
Ever took a drama class in his life. In his life. Okay, was ever in a school play. I'm sorry. Don't say yes to the date. This guy will show up with a scarf, with an ascot,
it'll little be all tie. About him.
There's going to be a scarf.
He's just, honestly, go ahead and date him if you're comfortable with never being the star.
Date him if you're comfortable with him LARPing on the weekends with his loser friends, okay? Just date him if you're interested in listening to show tunes in the car on road trips. Date him if you are interested in going to Broadway shows regularly. Honestly, if you want to go to the local high school play. Date him. Date him. Bury yourself.
I have no problem with going to the theater. I have no problem with the theater. The theater. I have no problem with engaging with, you know, Broadway. Do you know I live in New York City? But
and our father does love Andrew Lloyd Webber, and I do find it to be very chaste.
It's super sweet. I think it's just, you know, I've dated someone who was the star, and frankly, it was exhausting.
Honestly, and they're probably gay. So that's really another thing to look out for.
Well, okay. Well,
are you going to make me cut that
all
out?
We can say?
I think,
no, I'm not going to make you cut it out. I'm not going to make you cut it out. Brave new world, baby. Let's go.
Wow. Okay. Well, you guys, thank you so much for listening. We love you so much. If you like this podcast, if you want it to continue, please give us a shout out. Tag us on Instagram. Share it. You know, just please share the good word of pop apologists.
Please.
Please.
Please. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
He trades the world for the good things found. All for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at popapologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.